This is the continuation of the conversation that took place on 29th October 2011 on the 1st Thessalonians. We here reach chapters 4 and 5.
Then in chapter 4 and into chapter 5, it is a matter of encouragement. Let me just, if I may, remark one more thing about to the end of chapter 3. We're probably all clear about this, but there has been error in time past, hasn't there? In it being suggested that holiness, in the sense of practical holiness, is by faith, but it isn't, is it? You don't become practically holy just by believing, although faith is fundamental to everything, but it's a matter of being formed, isn't it, in the divine nature.
And that will receive at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints.
Yes. What a tremendous display that will be.
Yes.
Isn't it amazing, Tony, that it was prophesied as soon as Enoch's day, seventh generation from Adam, the Lord has come amidst his holy myriads. It's been a prophecy ever since then. And now it's close.
Yes.
That we're all going to come out in the glory of Christ, with everything having been adjusted as necessary at the judgment seat of Christ, and the marriage of the Lamb that had taken place, and not only the church, but other heavenly saints will come out with Christ in his glorious train when he comes in power and glory. Tremendous scene.
It's not when he manifested, when he is manifested in glory, we should be manifested with him. It's the other way around. When he is manifested, we should be manifested in glory with him.
Yes, yes. Which reminds us of Colossians 3, doesn't it? When Christ is manifested, who is our life? Then shall we be manifested in glory, yes. And now these Thessalonian believers, as to the appearing of Christ, namely, how could those who had fallen asleep have part in it? Paul gives us a very complete answer, touching not only on those who have fallen asleep, but on we who are alive to the coming of the Lord. Because I'm sure in verse 14 of chapter 4, when Paul says God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus, he means when Christ appears in glory. God will bring with him then those who have fallen asleep in Jesus, and he goes on to explain those who are alive to the coming of the Lord. How? Because they would have been caught up to be with the Lord beforehand. I think it's as clear as possible. I really can't understand why people try and do away with the truth of the rapture. Rapture simply meaning catching away, doesn't it?
He also says elsewhere, doesn't he, that he gives his opinion as to certain things, but this is the word of the Lord. This is not just, as Peter would say, a cleverly imagined fable as to how the dead in Christ are going to come with him. But it's the word of the Lord, a specific revelation for our benefit.
It's authoritative, isn't it? And we're so thankful that he puts it this way, because we can rely on it all the more, David, can't we? It's another of the things that was revealed to Paul, do you think?
Yes, absolutely. And no doubt the Lord is raising the matter again today, here and elsewhere, for that purpose.
It explains what the Lord had in mind when he said, I will come again and receive you to myself, but where I am, you also may be.
Just so. And I don't think everybody will agree with me, and I don't think you actually have to, but when the Lord says, it said in John 11, that he that believes on me, though he have died, shall live. And everyone who lives and believes on me shall never die. I think he had the same two classes in mind. But those who had died would live. And those who still lived and believed on him would never die. We sometimes misquote what it says in Hebrews. It is the portion of men once to die. Saying it is the portion of all men. But it isn't. It may not be your portion or mine to die.
Well, it should. All of us should be looking for that, shouldn't we? We, Paul says, he doesn't say those who are living and remain. He says we who are living and remain.
Yes. And he wasn't mistaken. This is the expectancy of heart that the Lord wanted with his church all the way through, didn't it?
Yes.
He doesn't say I will go again to his own. He says I am going again.
Yes.
He puts it in the present tense. That shows how much it means to him. I am coming again and shall receive you to myself.
And in the end of the Revelation he says, I come quickly.
Yes.
Doesn't he?
Yes. Present tense.
Yeah.
In this chapter, in verse 14, I believe there's a touch which we often miss the real effect of. In verse 14, it's God's action. We've been making some references about the Lord coming again.
Yes.
It's God bringing him out.
Yes.
We see a number of references to the Lord being led as a lamb to the slaughter. Mm-hmm. Or by Pilate, when he says, behold the man. The Lord Jesus is led out, has been by man. But God will lead Jesus out. And that's what that verse is about. Because that word bring is the word in Greek which is the usual one for leading.
That's interesting, Frank. We have in Hebrews 1, don't we, that lovely verse. And again, when he brings in the firstborn into the habitable world, he says, and let all God's angels worship him.
What a mighty response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's a subjection. But the Lord Jesus here, even to men and to authorities, God will not allow that to be the last word about him.
Just so. Well, imagine the tremendous joy of God the Father bringing his Son into the world.
Mm-hmm.
How did the world last see him? On a criminal's cross.
Mm-hmm.
I gather it was only his disciples that saw him risen, wasn't it? Alas, the world at large saw Christ was undergoing a shameful criminal's death. And then the next the world will see of him is God bringing his beloved Son into the world and saying, let all God's angels worship him.
But just an interesting point there, Jeff. The Lord tasted death. We don't.
Well, are you thinking of this lovely expression, those who have fallen asleep through Jesus, verse 14?
Yeah.
The Lord has taken the sting of death away, hasn't he? Death may be accompanied by pain. And we can understand even believers being apprehensive about going away they haven't travelled before. But I'm sure what you say is well worth remembering that the Lord has taken the sting of death away and he puts his own to sleep and he will raise him again.
Yep.
Could I ask about the dead in Christ? Is that the church exclusively?
I don't think so. What do you think?
Well, I'm asking for help.
Well, it includes all those who've died in faith.
There are many families, aren't there?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
In Romans 3, we read of God's forbearance in respect of the sins that had taken place before. Don't we? Romans 3, verse 25. At the cross and in the resurrection of Christ, God demonstrated his righteousness not only justifying us of the present dispensation, but passing by the sins that have taken place before. I take it that means on the part of those of faith, Abraham and Moses and David, God forgave them in virtue of the work that Christ had yet to do. And I'm sure they, among the dead in Christ, there'll be other families in heaven, won't there? I mean, if we look at the marriage supper of the Lamb, there are those that are called to the occasion, not only the bride herself, in which through God's wonderful grace we have part, but there are others there. Does any other, does any brother have a, another thought or have a light to shed on that?
The brother once spoke about God having a family of infants. Think of the millions of infants, young children.
Yes.
Below the age of responsibility, the death of Christ will avail for them, won't it?
I'm sure that is the case. As the words of the Lord indicate, the special place that children have, they're angels. They take the constantly behold the face of my Father who's in heaven. We don't want to digress, but I think following your contribution, David, it's worth pointing out that we have that expression in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, haven't we, chapter 3, where he speaks about the God and Father, verse 15, of whom every family in the heavens and on earth is named. Now, I've looked at that verse a bit, as I think you have, because there are various renderings of it in different translations. And I looked at one commentary where whose author professed to know Greek, and maybe Frank can help confirm this. He said it couldn't mean the God and Father of the whole family. He said you couldn't render it that way. And I'm sure it is right that there are different families of people with whom God has dealt in different ways down through the centuries. And surely all those who have gone before us, who've died in faith, will be raised in the first resurrection.
I simply believe, Jeff, that it's not only as to, even in the context of all we're saying, not only as to those who are children, and as we say, below the age of responsibility, there are many more mature years with very limited abilities mentally. Persons of learning disabled condition. God knows all of these things.
And shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And Peter, preaching to Cornelius, says, I know that in every nation he that fears God and works righteousness is acceptable to him. I think it's very wrong to make extreme statements that, for example, that people who've never heard the gospel of Christ will all go to hell. And that's in one confession of faith.
We can rest on the go. Down there in big time, but we can rest on, still rest on 2 Timothy 2, can't we, 19? The Lord knows those that are his.
Yes.
He knows, even if we don't know what it is.
God counts for to be what he has, not what he has not.
Just so. God is absolutely perfect. Is that all right, what we're saying, Malcolm? Well, it's a lovely prospect, but being caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, to be always with the Lord. And Paul says, so comfort ye or encourage one another with these words. But then in the next chapter he comes to the prospect for those on the earth. There's a category in Revelation, isn't there?
crops up several times, those that dwell on the earth, those who have no horizon outside of this scene. And as to such, the apostle says, when they may say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. When the day of the Lord comes, do we need to warn people of this in the gospel? Yes. I was struck looking at the Acts that every time they preached, they spoke about the Lord's coming in judgment. The truth of the rapture is given for the comfort and encouragement of the saints, isn't it?
Yeah.
The appearing publicly is part of the gospel. I'm sure it is. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, doesn't he? Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men.
Yes.
Mm. It's noticeable that in this context, Paul speaks of the coming of Christ as the day of the Lord. That connotes the putting down of wickedness. It connects with God's judgments being meted out on the protagonist of evil, doesn't it? It doesn't describe it as the day of the Lord to us.
It's not a 24-hour period.
No.
It's a period, just as the Lord's coming covers the whole period of his from the rapture right through to the appearing, doesn't it?
Yes. It's just so. For us, we would think of the day of Jesus Christ, the day when that blessed man is going to be expressed in everything. But for the world, it's the day of the Lord.
It's a thrill for the believer that the Lord Jesus is going to be publicly and universally vindicated and honored.
Amen.
The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord and the waters cover the sea.
Yeah. Don't you like to think of that when you walk about the streets of our towns, David? You see all the traffic congestion, you see all the horrible advertisements and all the rest of it, and you say, but this very earth is going to be covered with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord.
Do you think, Jeff, that we as believers need to be watching and sober and so on? This was an exhortation to believers, wasn't it?
Yes.
And the Lord spoke of stewards being alert to wait, watching and praying, waiting for the Lord to come. I was thinking we're probably all conscious that parts of Christendom there is a, shall we say, a marginalising of the expectation of the rapture, if not a pushing of it away altogether. And it has the effect of making us less watchful, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. We should be watching in expectation, shouldn't we, for the Lord to come at any moment?
Just so. In Luke 12, for example, you remember, the Lord speaks firstly of waiting for their Lord and then watching for him.
Yes.
We need to do both, don't we? Someone, I think, gave the illustration of men returning home and arriving at the station. The wife of one was waiting for him back at home, but the wife of the other was on the station platform there to greet him. She was watching for him. And now, what a challenge that is to my soul. Am I not just waiting for the Lord, but I'm watching for him?
Could you just help us, don't know what's coming next, Jeffrey, but is that included in the thought of the morning star rising in your hearts, or is that something else?
It's Peter refers to the morning star, doesn't he, having arisen in your hearts, and that should take place now, shouldn't it?
We're not waiting for the morning star. The morning star has arisen in the hearts of those who are waiting and watching for Christ.
He says, I am it. In Revelation.
Yes, the bright, doesn't he say, I'm the brighter morning star? Yes. But if you've got
so not only that we should see it.
Yes. That's just so. The morning star comes out before the day breaks.
And the day's about to break.
Yes. And is it true that the morning star has arisen in all our hearts? And we're just waiting for the day. But then there's another point, Norman, in the verses to which you drew our attention, that is being sober.
Yes.
And I noticed that word is used quite a lot in the epistles that particularly bear on the last days, Paul's and Peter's. And I think it's an important word. I'm not a scholar, but I think often it carries the idea of being free from anything that would intoxicate. That's not just alcohol, but things that would maybe excitable, things that would distort our vision. We need to see things clearly, don't we? And I think that involves sobriety.
When Paul wrote his second epistle to Timothy, he said, for God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love and of wise discretion, and then it says a sober or sound mind.
Yes. And doesn't he later say to Peter, to Timothy, but thou be sober in all things? We could easily get sucked into emotions or movements or trends that are not of God. They're not according to the truth. And if we're going to discern things rightly, we need to have sober minds, don't we?
I think we need to be alert to the fact there is a power that brings about these trends and movements in the world.
Yes, just so.
Do you think we better get used to this company? Because it says we shall be always with the Lord.
Yes, yes. It would be good to be more with him now, wouldn't it? We often ask the Lord to be with us in what we're doing. Perhaps it's a greater desire for me to be with the Lord in what he's doing and in the quietness of his presence, were you thinking?
Yeah.
It says in verse 10 of chapter 5, Alan, that whether we may be watching or sleep, we may live together with him. Now, what could be better than that?
Yeah.
It doesn't say live together in heaven, does it?
No. You'd better not start me up on that one, Terry. Well, yes, it's Jesus who makes heaven what it is.
Yes, it is. And if the Lord is returning with all his saints, we come with him, don't we?
Absolutely. Yes. Just so. But just following your remark as to the distinction and the way things are put, in a lot of gospel preaching, we talk about people going to heaven. But I don't think I find that in the Acts or in the epistles. I hope be unduly critical of a brother who preached that way. But the point is being with Christ.
What's the point of going to heaven? The Lord isn't there.
Yes. And as for those in their sins, the immediate thing is not going to heaven, but getting right with God. Sins need to be justified. They need to have the assurance of faith. Going to heaven will follow, but then it's better to put it in the way that Paul put it, to be with Christ, which is far better. Is that enough for this meeting? Or is there another brother who just wants to make a comment before we close? Perhaps we've covered enough ground this afternoon. Thank you.